National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History, March 2nd, 1982. Respondent is Mrs. Sophia Myers, and the interviewer is Florence Joseph, and the recorder is Anne Fagan. Sophia, when we talked earlier, you know, you mentioned a lovely story about your arrival in Philadelphia and what your mother did because all the houses were
grandmother.
Oh, it was your grandmother.
Yeah, my grandmother.
Could you tell us about that?
I did tell you to say you want all the houses in Philadelphia in a row looked all alike. And when she went out, tied a red ribbon. They had pull bells, you know, to tie the red ribbon around it so she could identify the house. And children watched her do it, and they, you know how mischievous children, they took that ribbon off and tied it on a bell pull about four houses down. And my grandma saw it. She went up to this house and the woman opened the door and she could, and she said, what would you want? And grandma said, I live here. She said, no, you don't. And so she told her her name and the woman escorted her to the right house. So.
That's funny.
Which reminds me of a story which doesn't belong, which, did you know Leah Turitz? She tells the story of her grandmother who lived in Buffalo and wanted to visit her mother. So they bought her ticket. And somehow her mother never got the letter that she was arriving. So she sat in the Union Station and waited and waited. And the porter saw her sit there so long. And she had a return ticket in her hand. So he put her on the train back to Buffalo. And the poor soul, when she got there, she said, met somebody there. She said, what are you doing in Pittsburgh? She said, got this interior in Buffalo. And she was so embarrassed, she cried for 2 days and wouldn't go out of her room.
Imagine.
That was the day before the travel aid.
Do you have any other memories of Philadelphia, Sophia?
No, except that I heard them say that there was at the shirtwaist factory where so many girls were burned. We lived in that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. That's the only recollection I have. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, and another thing. We lived near a deaconess house. You know what the deaconesses are? They're like, and I was so impressed with their hats. They're little black hats with white bows, and I always felt I'd like to be a deaconess.
You said you arrived in Pittsburgh
in 1907.
When you were how old?
Well, I guess at that time I must have been about 7. I went to the home school, my brother and I.
What do you remember about your brothers and sisters going to school and your going to school? What do you remember about the schools?
Well, my brother Leopold and I were in the same grade, although he was 2 years younger than I, but because we had never been to the school, we were put in the first, both of us in the first grade. My sister Rose and my brother Alan were born in Pittsburgh. At that time, they had Fifth Avenue High School, which was a commercial high school, And the first year, academic students also went down on Fifth Avenue. Then after the first year, they were transferred to what they called Central High School. It was up on the hill. Mm-hmm. In those years, they taught Latin and Greek in the high schools.
Did you study those?
No, I didn't. I took a commercial course, which they taught penmanship and physiology and how to answer a formal invitation. I still remember that.
Did you study math?
No, the education was so informal. I think I told you I was really self. Emma Goldman put me on the right track with. My father was a socialist, and I remember his taking me to hear Eugene Debs when he was released from jail. I must have been about 10, I guess. When I think of now, when she talked of Havok Ellis, I had never heard of him till in my latter years when I began to read a great deal.
I thought we would talk a little bit more about your father and the work he did.
Yeah.
You said that when he first came here, he sold things. And
yes, he had a cousin that manufactured novelties. Mm-hmm. And they, when there was a fair or country or a circus, they sent him out. He had a board with these novelties pinned to him.
What are the memories, or the role that religion played in your life?
Well, my father he didn't believe in any religion. He was reared by an uncle who was very orthodox, and he wasn't permitted to read Russian novels on Shabbos. And then he hated religion because he was so severe. And he used to make us eat in Yom Kippur to show us nothing can happen to us. He said, that's superstition.
What kinds of things did your family do together for fun, Sophia?
What?
What kinds of things did your family do together for fun? Brothers and sisters.
Just kids playing out. We lived near Chatham Street where they had the YMCA. Mm-hmm. And I attended, used to go to the gym there. And the boys had bicycles, and Papa used to give them money to watch football games. He never wanted them to play football. Mm-hmm.
And one time you mentioned an invention that your brother made that was interesting. From bicycle wheels.
Oh, my brother, yes.
Did you tell us
he
about
made
that?
A machine, and it really went. It was on the boulevard. He used a wooden box, the wheels of a bicycle, and I don't know where he got the motor. And he'd buy gasoline in the court. And when he took it, it made so much noise, the whole neighborhood was aroused. And as a result, he's very creative. He has about, I don't know how many patents as he's always. He has a workshop in his cellar, and he's always working at it.
Which
he's a dentist, my brother Jake.
Is he still alive?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Practices in the Jenkins Arcade.
His name is
Jacob. J.D. Schwartz.
Schwartz. And as you and your brothers and sisters were growing up, what stories did your parents tell about growing up in Russia? Did they tell you any stories?
No.
When they grew up in Russia?
They didn't, but my grandmother used to tell, we never believed it, to tell us that the harnesses on their horses were silver, and we used to laugh at children. And they were rather well-to-do, and the reason they came to the United States was the drought and the crops failed in Russia. Mm-hmm. And my father's brother and his stepsister came to Philadelphia. She was a school teacher, went to school in Brooklyn, and then she went to pharmacy school and eventually married a pharmacist.
Mm-hmm. Now, we haven't talked about your mother's life and her role in the household. What do you remember about it?
Always busy looking for my brother with a stick under her apron to come in and practice.
Practice what?
Violin. It was 25 cents a lesson. The one brother studied the cornet, and the two brothers studied violin, and my sister studied the piano.
You studied?
I studied piano very little, but my husband was a good pianist.
How about your grandmother? Did she have much influence on you while you were growing up?
No. She wanted to learn English, and she would have little pieces of paper. The Jewish pronunciation, the Russian pronunciation, and I think I told you about
it. Yes, you did.
That we used to laugh. She'd get the pieces of paper mixed up. Mm-hmm. And she would say, "You children, you're smart because you can speak English. The shepherd who tends to the sheep in France speaks French," which to them was.
What do you remember about the neighborhood when you're growing up, when you were growing up in Pittsburgh?
My very
neighborhood.
In Pittsburgh?
Yes, when you were growing up.
Yes,
what was the neighborhood like?
White collar class mixture, Jew and Gentile. We didn't know anything about anti-Semitism mm-hmm. then.
You said you lived on the hill?
No, we never lived on the hill, and that was a funny story.
Where did you live?
We lived in Oakland.
In Oakland, I see.
A man came around one day, and he wanted old clothes. And Mother said, "I don't have any old clothes." He said, "What do you do with them?" She said, "We give them to the Salvation Army." And he said, "But if you," he said, "and when you lived up on the hill, did you give them also the Salvation Army?" She said, "We never lived on the hill." He said, "Where then did you live? All Jews live up on the hill." It was the Children's Hospital first got started on Forbes and Lawn Street. And I remember as children, if our dog was sick or something happened to the chickens, we would take him down to the dispensary on the Children's Hospital.
Chickens? Did you have chickens?
We had chickens in the backyard. This must be so boring to you.
Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. I just love it. Let's talk about your meeting Herman in the early years of your marriage. How'd you meet your...
He was a piano student at his cousin's, who was also my music teacher. And then he and my brother belonged to a boys' club.
What do you remember about your wedding in 1917?
Oh. We were married by Justice of the Peace because he wanted to register as married because of the war. was in 17. And he had just opened up an office when he tried to enlist, and it didn't come through. He was drafted before. He was a lieutenant in the, and he told about the influenza at the time. They weren't prepared for it, and the soldiers died like flies. They were outside. They had no room for the, and he said it affected the Westerners. They had never been sick, and his duty when he first went into the army was to accompany the caskets to the station.
This was in 1917.
17, during the war, the First World War. He was on his way over to Europe when armistice was signed, and they turned the boats around, and he came, thank God he came back.
What could you tell us about your life after you were married? Where did you live?
We lived at home. Mm-hmm. With my parents.
While your husband was getting an education, were you with him, or did you, were you home, or
what? Well, I was home. Well, he graduated in 17, I think.
Mm-hmm. So he went to school after you were married?
No.
Before?
Before.
Mm-hmm. I see.
He was graduated in June, and then we were married July 1st, 1917.
I see. Where did he study to be an oral surgeon?
In the Vanderbilt Clinic in New York. Mm-hmm. Well, his undergraduate work was at Pitt. He was going to study medicine was 4 years, bless you, and dentistry was 3 years, and he thought a year was a long time. Then we were to go to Europe, and I became pregnant and we couldn't go.
What could you tell us about your husband's practice so far?
Well, he was rather successful. His brother-in-law was a dentist also, and that's what he was making millions, and they wanted my husband to.
Was it unusual for a Jew to be an oral surgeon? To be in
yes, he was the first Jewish oral surgeon. Mm-hmm. There were others, but there were no Jewish. Mm-hmm.
What do you remember about your early years with your young children?
Well, nothing much. Well, one stands out in my mind is we had a factory down. We lived above the factory, and we had a cat. It was downstairs in the shop. And the way they figured it out is that the cat flew over some of the boxes and they caught fire. The little Bresner stove that they would heat up the place for the girl to come in and sew in the morning. And there was a fire and somebody knocked through a stone at the window to wake us up. Boys were playing basketball at the Epiphany Church on Epiphany Street. And my grandmother was afraid to walk down because of the fire. And my brother picked her up and carried her down.
What schools did your children go to?
Well, all my children went to the Whiteman School and then to Aldridge. And to college, they went to University of Wisconsin and Chicago and Pitt. And my son was the Second World War, and the seniors were drafted, and he wasn't allowed to finish high school. He went to the B-12 program. He was sent to the University of Virginia. May I take that?
Sure.
Hello? Who's calling him? I think he is out of town. You're welcome.
You were talking about your son's schooling.
I had
phone.
What?
You were talking about your son's schooling education.
Well, I went to University of Virginia and then to Pitt Medical School. Mm-hmm. And Shirley went to Wisconsin and graduated Chicago and got her master's at Pitt in social work.
Now, what activities did you and Herman share with the children?
We used to walk through the woods, Frick Park, or we'd go to the organ recitals on Sunday. There were free organ recitals.
Where were they?
In the Carnegie Music Hall.
Still. How does that compare with your grandchildren? Were they reared as compared to your own children?
Well, of course, they had it much easier than my children did.
I was just wondering about your children's education, particularly Shirley's. Can you describe, did she tell you about Wisconsin, for instance, when she was there, some of her experiences?
No, except that she said her teacher said, one of the teachers, you come from Pittsburgh, and she said, how do you know? She said, because Pittsburgh always ask a question. They raised their voice at the end of the sentence, and she knew she came from Pittsburgh. The reason Dr. Taylor, who was a good friend, he was head of the Federation, and he told him Shirley wanted to be a social worker, and he said Wisconsin was no place for her. The University of Chicago was a place for her to go, so she transferred.
You said that Lewis went on to medical school. What did he do after he graduated?
He specialized in obstetrics and gynecology with Dr. Feingold.
What about Dr. Feingold?
He was associate of Dr. Feingold. Dr. Feingold was, I think, the first one who practiced artificial insemination.
Tell me a little bit about the important influences in life.
Well,
this began before, maybe if you continue.
Started with Emma Goldman. In life, I had a dear friend, Rose Slevian, who came from a famous family in Boston. her husband was a renowned physicist, who patented 200 patents for Westinghouse. And she supplied me with books, and we went to lectures a great deal. And Esther Bergman, another friend, who was the wife of the superintendent at Mount Pier Hospital, we attended the Budapest String Quartet, and we went to all the art lectures.
You see that Emma Goldman was very important influence in life.
Yes,
could you
because
a little bit more about her and her
every week she
how she,
lectured on the arts, on the social, the Scandinavian arts and the German plays and the higher education, which was far above my head. Havok Ellis and Shaw. And she would list books that she'd be talking on, and we'd get them at the library the week before and read up on some of them.
Did she ever talk about her political philosophy?
No, okay. No, she was an anarchist. Mm-hmm. And talked to the political situation. And I heard my father-in-law speak of the Homestead Strike. Mm-hmm. And how many people were killed and the Homestead Strike, where the company owned the houses and stores, and when they went on strike, they put them out of the houses and wouldn't give them credit in the grocery stores.
Did Emma talk about any of this, or did she just talk about it in these books and lectures, in her lectures?
Well, she talked about these strikers, and that was the time of the Molly Maguire. Life of the miners.
You think she was a political influence on many of the people?
I think so. But then afterwards, you know, she was a free thinker and had many lovers, and then went back to Russia where she was disillusioned. I had since read her book. I have the book. And then people, you know, they were very straight-laced, and because of her personal life.
Can you remember some of her ideas that you thought were very important?
Well, I can't remember that.
You said did your husband go with you to these lectures?
Yes, and we went to Margaret Sanger lectures. Mm-hmm. She spoke on birth control. Mm-hmm. Emma Goldman, one of her lovers was Alexander Burton, who shot Frink. And they took him to the Mercy Hospital because they saved him. He endowed Mercy Hospital with $1 million. Mm-hmm. He was also jailed up on the river, and his fellow patriots dug a tunnel. They had rented a house next door to the jail and dug a tunnel to help him escape. That story reads like a detective story that Alexander Berkman loved. was the time of the Haymaker riot in California.
Mm-hmm. How do these things affect the city of Pittsburgh?
Well, I see, my father was, he kept up with all the political. I think I told you, when Eugene Debs was released from jail, he took me, and I remember the place was on Highland Avenue. It was a hall.
Was that a lecture?
Yes, it was a benefit, you know. An immigrant. My mother went to high school, to Alderdice Night School.
Education seemed to be important.
Yes, that was to them. My father used to ask us to read in the paper at night because he couldn't see, and he had already read the paper, but he wanted the boys to be able